Please accept my humble obeisances, O Mishra Prabhupada. So let us offer our prayers to our Guru Parampara. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapyena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shrita Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Jagam Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatha Vitam Tam Sajivam Saravaitam Saradhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakha Vitam Chav He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesh Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Kancha Kalta Karupyascha Upasindhu Devana Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Shri Avritishe Namaha I offer my respectful obeisances to the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna Chaitanya, who is more magnanimous than any other avatar, even Krishna himself, because he is bestowing freely that no one else has ever given, pure love of Krishna. Krishna Varnam Visha Krishnam Sangha Pangastra Parshadam Yajnahi Sankirtana Prayair Yajanti Sumedhasaham. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregation chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead who constantly sings the name of Shri Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons and companions. Now we offer prayers to the six Goswamis, especially Jiva Goswami. Nana Sastra Vicharnika Nipunau Shad Dharma Samstapakau Loka Nam Hitakarinau Tribhuvane Manyau Sharanyakarau Radha Krishna Padaravinda Bhajana Anandena Mattalikau Vanda Rupa Sanatana Raghuyugau Shri Jeeva Balakau Translation I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Shri Sanatana Goswami, Shri Rupa Goswami, Shri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Shri Raghunath Das Goswami, Shri Jeeva Goswami and Shri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Shri Radha and Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Narayam Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tatodayam Udirayat Nashtupayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Nishtaki Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Shri Prabhupada Shri Prabhupada Govinda Madhu Purusham Tamam Bhajami Hare Krishna everyone, please accept my humble obeisances. All good to Shri Prabhupada. So let's begin. I'll just turn on the camera here. So we have been hearing, we already heard about Krishna's potencies, how these potencies, even though they act diametrically opposite to one another, they reside within Krishna in a completely complete harmony. And then we also heard, different how different classes of, there are three broad categories: internal potency, intermediary potency, that are the living entities, and external potency. So external potency, Maya, we also saw there are two broad divisions, functionally speaking. There is a Guna Maya, and there is another one. So this further qualification, classifications, we already heard about it. So now we are moving on to the next theme, the third theme. First theme, of course, the three aspects of the Absolute Truth, we heard about it: Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Then we heard about the Krishna's potencies, and now we are going to hear the third theme that we are beginning today, that is about Krishna's body and his different expansions. Now that Jiva Goswami already discussed about the external potency, so now he is going to talk more about the internal, of Krishna. So first comes about Krishna's transcendental body. So here you see in this first PowerPoint, so what I'm giving you an overview of this particular theme, third theme, that is the lessons 9 through 14 and the text 29 through 61. So it's a huge subsection. Many chapters are there. There are six parts actually, about bodies, Bhagavan's body and his expansions. Very first one in lesson 9, that we will be discussing today, and that is text 29 to 35. So here it's very much sort of like a introductory lesson actually, which gives a broad overview of what we are going to be talking about, the Bhagavan's transcendental body, that is all pervading and unlimited, but both within the within without the universe, that we are going to see today. The following week, in lesson 10, text 36 to 44, we will see Bhagavan has unlimited forms, that predominantly the emphasis on Paramatma feature, that exists within one form. And then text 45 to 15, lesson 11, we will see that that although Lord's body is invisible, he can be seen, his body can be seen by his own mercy. That is his, and his names, forms, pastimes, all are transcendental, even his ornaments. Then moving on, text 51 to 53, lesson 12. As an example, we will see Lord Rishabdev, who is Lord himself. His body is transcendental, so that is an example that we will see. Then text 13, lesson 13, text 54 to 58, we will hear especially Mother Devaki's prayers to Shri Krishna, whose body is Shabda Brahman, we will see what it is actually, and the complete form of Bhagavan. And finally, in lesson 14, text 59 through 61, we will also see Krishna's attire, ornaments, weapons, and his even dharma, his Vaikuntha dharma, all belong to his Swarupa, his internal form as he is. So this is what the broad overview of this particular theme about Krishna's body and his expansions. So let us move on to the first section, which, as I said, it's an introductory section, text 29 to 35, which is all about Krishna's body is transcendental, all-pervading and unlimited, and that exists within and without the universe, and that is which is kind of inconceivable, we cannot comprehend. So the next PowerPoint, we will talk about the sub-themes of this particular lesson, so lesson themes. So there are three, as Sanjeev was just about showing, actually four themes are there in this. So this is lesson 9, lesson 9 themes. Text 29 to 35 that we are going to be discussing today. The transcendental, Bhagavan's body is transcendental, all-pervading, and within and without the universe, and unlimited. So the text 29 and 30, we are going to be discussing about Bhagavan's transcendental body, and that is part of his essential nature. That is what we will look at it in today's lesson. And the next week, text 31, will talk about how his body is all-pervading. Actually, what you will see that some of the features are going to be perpetual. They are going to be keep repeating. It's not exactly sharp one to another one, but exclusive. Then text 32 to 33, we will also see how his form is unlimited. So all these features, unlimited, all pervading, all these things we are going to be talking today, because as I said, today's lesson is more or less is introductory in nature. And the final theme, final lesson theme, is text 34-35, Bhagavan is both within and without the universe. See that all these different features that we'll be taking a more deeper look, a more expanded look that we'll be all talking about today in an introductory session. So I would really urge all of you to pay a close attention to hearing what the broad features, introductory features, and then you would begin to understand when we talk more deeply in each of these subsections. Alright? So actually I already discussed the second PowerPoint. Sanjeev Prabhu is still trying to show the second PowerPoint, which I'm just done actually. So third, I don't know, it takes a little lag clear, but it's taking a little bit too much time today. Okay, the third PowerPoint, text 29 to 30. Now while he's showing, let me give you a little bit, before we actually discuss, I want to share with you something. Now, many of you probably have been wondering, and I agree with that, that this Srila Jiva Goswami Sandarbha's extremely difficult, very complex, and huge, the magnitude huge actually. It's very difficult to understand, I understand that, you know. But what I would like to share with you, that if you make an effort, and if you understand the technique, scientific technique, then you can really understand, then you can easily comprehend, you know, it's not that impossible. It is difficult, but once you get the hang of it, as in America we say, get the hang of it, then it's not that difficult actually, you know. And what is the technique that I would like to share with you before we actually begin? In fact, Sri Jiva Goswami, knowing this, he actually already discussed actually in Tattva Sandarbha, Anucheda 29, I think 28 and 29, that how, what is going to be his approach. So what he does actually, he selects a statement from Srimad Bhagavatam which he wants to establish a certain fact, and then he would select, so he will select some key verses, you know, and this, and sometimes he also selects commentaries, and most likely it is Srila Swami's commentaries, you know. So that's how he does that. So what we need to focus, really we need to understand what he's trying to establish, very important. First, you must understand what he's trying to establish. For example, in this today's lesson, he is going to establish this particular theme, that Bhagavan's body is transcendental, all-pervading and unlimited, and both within and without the universe, you know. What it means that he is within the universe, and the entire universe is within him. It's a kind of self-contradictory, but that is what the precise definition of the Supreme God, you know. Here it is, the second PowerPoint that I was just talking about, the four sub-themes. So first you must understand what he's trying to establish. So this is what exactly, I put it as a sub-theme, lesson theme. So today's lesson, that is what he's going to establish, right? So first you must focus on that. And then now, what verses he cites, he quotes, you know. And precisely, we have to understand those verses, because through that verses, he is going to establish this particular theme, actually, you know. So what I will do in the first aspect of it, first three verses that he quotes, key verses. Now he, many verses of course, and because of the time constraint in just about an hour and a half class, it is not possible for me to give you all the references that he quotes actually. So I focus only on his key references actually, you know. And we understand that, but he gives many, many references actually. Really, he goes beyond what's needed actually. So the third PowerPoint, Prabhuji, that is text 29-30. So here, he is going to quote these three verses from Mother Devaki. There it is. And I give you this picture also. So this is when Krishna first appeared as her son actually. But before he appeared as a human baby, actually he directly appeared as his four-armed Vishnu form, you know, with all the ornaments, his mugat and all these things, even including his Vajanti mala, you know, and his yellow dhoti and so on like that. So this is typically Lord Vishnu form. So to make sure that Mother Devaki and Vasudev ji clearly understand that he is indeed Lord Vishnu, that they were praying in the previous lifetime, three lifetimes actually, that they prayed that Lord Vishnu to appear as their son. So to make them understand that actually. And then Mother Devaki, because she was so much scared of Kansa, because Kansa had already killed her previous seven progenies, you know. So she was very worried about that. She was so much scared of Kansa that he might kill even this baby also. So then she requests to turn that as a human baby. But now in her prayers that she's offering, how she became free from that fear, that is what this verses case talks about in these three key verses. So what I want you to understand, to see, when its task is too big, you cut it down to a manageable size. And to understand or to comprehend, you must understand each of these verses very clearly, you know. that what Srila Jiva Goswami is trying to establish. So he's going to establish right here through these three verses that Bhagavan's body is transcendental body and is part of his essential nature, you know. So in these two anucheda, what he calls, Srila Jiva Goswami establishes that Bhagavan's body is not material, even when he descends into this material world. So in these three verses, Mother Devaki is pointing out how our bodies, the conditioned soul's body, differs from that of the Lord's body, actually, you know. So that is what we need to see, that, you know. Even when he, so this is not only, because we already saw in previous texts that when Lord is in Vaikuntha Dhamma, Vaikuntha Dhamma is eternal, of course, and transcendental. So Vaikuntha Dhamma, of course, Lord is transcendental, no issue at all. But what about when he actually descends, when he appears in this material world? Because Mayavadis, their notion is that when the Supreme Lord, that actually they don't even call Supreme Lord, Ishvara they call, actually, he also comes under the influence of the three modes of material nature. So this is clearly not that what Mother Devaki is pointing out, that even in material world when he appears, he remains transcendental. So let's talk about these three verses. Now what you will see in these three verses, sometimes even difficult how to, so the point here, not only you need to identify the dots, but you also need to know how to connect the dots, you know. So that is a trick here, actually, and I'll share with you how I try to understand and how it seems to work for me, actually. So the first verse, this is from 10th canto, 3rd chapter, text 25, 26, 27, all right? So first one, nashta loke viparardh avasane, viparardh avasane, mahabhuteshva adibhutam kateshu, vyakta vyakti avyaktam kala vegeni yate, bhavan ekah shishyate ashesh shannah. So you see, we'll see the translation in the next PowerPoint, but here, nashta loke viparardh avasane. So she's talking about the dissolution of the universe, actually. When the actually Lord Brahma's lifespan is 100 years, he's 100 years, according to our time period, it is 311 trillion years, trillion years, or 1000 billion years is 1 trillion years, you know. So there are 311 trillion years, 40 billion years, you know. So there is the lifespan of Brahma. So it is usually considered as parardha. Parardha means one half. So there are two one half, that is the total lifespan of Brahmaji. So at the end of that, the entire universe is annihilated, you know, nashta loke. Then and how does this happen, and what is actually involved? Mahabhuteshva adi bhutam yatesh kateshu. This pancha mahabhuta, the earth, water, air, fire, earth, water, air, fire, ether, you know. So these five great pancha mahabhutas, adi, etc., 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 means in addition to these five gross elements, then there are five sense objects, then the ten senses, then the mind, and so on, like that. So these are all the basic ingredients of both living and unliving, moving, living, and this material world, actually, that's it. So they all, what happens? Vyakta avyaktam. So generally, just like in creation, from subtle elements to gross element takes place, right? So it's a reverse process involved when dissolution takes place. So gross elements become subtle, actually. So vyakta avyaktam. Kala vegena yat. So kala vegena, vega means the speed, actually. So here it's the lifespan, as the passage of time. Kala is time. So as the passage of the gross elements becomes subtler and subtler, you know. So that is the typical nature of living and non-living beings in this material world. That's the very nature of the material world, actually. That's what she's pointing out. However, unlike that, what about you, Bhavana? You, my Lord, Bhavana Eka, you alone remains Shri Shishyate, remain Ashesha Sanna. Shesha means balance, actually. So that is what you alone remains. So there's a fundamental difference. So as the passage of time, everything has a beginning and everything has an end, you know. So everything must come to end when annihilation takes place. But my Lord, you are completely free from the influence of the time. So this is what is mentioned. So now the question might come here as we try to understand what the Kala has to do with Lord's body. So first thing what Devaki, Mother Devaki is pointing out is not under the influence of time. Okay? So that's how it's the connecting the dot that's involved. Now let's look at the second verse. Yo ayam kala tasya, yo ayam kala tasya te avyakta bandho. Te avyakta bandho, bandho means friend. Oh my Lord, you are the friend of those that are unmanifest. So basically that's prakriti, you know. So you are the friend of that. Kala tasya, yo ayam kala. So this is all affected by the influence of time. Cheshtam. Ahu cheshtate. So that twice the word chesta is used. Chesta means action, to do something, you know. So there is an action of the cosmic world, actually, that begins and ends. That's according to the passage of time. And then another word chesta, so that is the action of the material world. But there is also action of the Supreme Lord, you, my Lord. So your very action is this exactly, to create, maintain, and then after a certain period, you dissolve everything, you know? You dissolve or you destroy, annihilate everything. So that is your action, actually. Yena Vishwam, this material world. And then how do, because in the first verse, she already pointed out that it is due to the passage of time. So the time also has different units, right? At the one end, the smallest unit is Nimesha. That Nimesha means the time it takes in the twinkling of our eyes, opening and closing the eyes. So it's like in nanoseconds, 1,000, few thousandth of seconds, actually. No? Nimesha, so Nimesha, that means just twinkling of the eyes, few seconds, minutes, hours, weeks, months, years, yugas, and so on, like that, all the way up to Brahma's lifespan, you know, 311 trillion years. 40 billion years, so like that. You can see that. So there is what Mahiyams te tva ishanam kshema dhama prapadite. So that is what she compares with the material world, what happens, and then opposed to her, what you, that your body, tva ishanam. Ishanam means another name of the Lord. Tva, you, my Lord, kshema dhama, your body. So first time there's a connection she is making now. When I ask you, what is the, in the first verse she talks about the Kala, the passage of time. How does that connect with the Lord's body? That's what Jiva Goswami wants to take that, right? So here the first connection is showing here, that now the body is showing Kshema Dharma, that my Lord, your body is all auspiciousness, you know. And to that, my Lord, I surrender myself, Prapadya, you know. So Lord's body is free from this Kala, influence of time and space. You know? So that is what she's pointing out. Now, the second verse, in the first verse she's showing about a Kala, and you, my Lord, is free from that influence of time, and how? So she's pointing out the reason, the reasoning behind that in the second verse. Alright? So that means the Kala's influence, time's influence, does not affect my Lord your transcendental body, actually, and your body kshema dhama, your body. So second point she's pointing out, that your body is all auspiciousness, free from all that fear. Okay, please go back to the slide, because I want to talk about the third verse, you know. Third verse, please go back. Sanjeev Prabhu, please go back. So third verse, Mrtyu means the mortal beings. Yeah, that is. Mrtyu vyala bhitaha palayan. Mrtyu means those whose death is certain. One who is born must die. Even the inert beings, so there is a beginning and there is an end actually. So everything is mortal actually. So among the mortal, the Mrtyu, and those who are mortal beings, they all fear. Vyala means snake, the snake of death. Now practically every one of us have become terrorized by just the sight of a poisonous snake, right? So this death is compared with a snake, you know. And bhita means we become fear, because of fear of this death, we flee, palayan, flee to different planetary system, lokan, sarva lokan. Sometimes we go, we aspire, hoping that this fear of death won't be there in svarga loka, you know, higher planetary system, you know. So there are 14 planetary systems, broadly speaking, three lokas, the upper planetary system, middle planetary system, and the lower planetary system. Everyone with the hope that influence of time won't be there, but nonetheless, throughout material world, regardless of which loka you're talking about, which planetary system you're talking about, the fear of death is always there. Even the demigods are afraid of dying actually, no? So you cannot escape from the fear, this great terror of this death, no? Sarva lokam, sarvan nirbhayam na abhigacchan. Nirbhayam means freedom from the fear of death actually. So you cannot expect freedom from the fear of death, na abhigacchat. So no matter which planetary system you go there. On the other hand, my lord, you, Thvath, that means you, my lord, Thvath pada abja, padamjam, means your lotus feet is a prapya, one who, attains your lotus feet, and that also by your own mercy. Yet Shriyat Adya, by your mercy alone we get that, this shelter of the lotus feet. And then Sustaha Shete Mrtyus Asmat Apaiti, then we become completely free from the fear of death. And in fact we become Sustaha, we become very peaceful. Peacefully we can sleep, we can rest under the shelter of your lotus feet, my lord. That, so two things she's pointing out: the kala, the influence of time, and how the material world, both living and non-living beings, they face at the certain finite life. They all have finite life, and they must die. Actually, they must annihilated. You know? But you, my lord, and so kala is compared with lord's bodily movement. Actually, basically, she's talking about. What kind of bodily movement actually, and that Sri Jiva Goswami actually explains in the next PowerPoint. So the full, let's first read the full translation. I already explained, but full translation in showing in the next PowerPoint. Then after the first one, after the lifting of at the time of cosmic dissolution, when all the five gross elements enter into their original undeficient state, gross to subtle, you know, and the manifest into the unmanifest. Remember in the creation, the pradhana, when the three modes of material nature are in complete equilibrium, so that get activated when Lord throws glance. So Lord's bodily movement is involved. What kind of Lord's bodily movement? Opening and closing the eyes. When Lord opens the eyes, creation takes place. When Lord shuts his eyes, the dissolution takes place. So from distant Lord throws a glance, and I already explained to you previous classes, Lord's glance involves three or four elements. So through Lord's glance, what Lord does, he injects us with all the karmic bondage into the new cycle. So he puts us in the womb of Prakriti Pradhana actually. Along with his, he himself enters the second element, as Paramatma he enters. So proximity of Paramatma is also very important. And that's Paramatma's third, another feature is time. As time Krishna enters. Now it is the time that activates the three modes of material nature. So Pradhana becomes Mahatattva now, you know. And the process begins, you know. That's how it, everything begins. So that is what it happens actually. And so living entities are injected with all this karmic bondage, everything, whatever stored from previous lifetimes, which was dormant, now becomes activated, and material nature becomes activated, three modes of material nature becomes activated by this kala potency, simply by the lowest bodily movement. First, towards closing, opening and closing the eyes actually. No? So when Lord closes his eyes, dissolution takes place. When he opens the eyes, the creation takes place, alright? So here that's what he said. Enter into original undifferentiated state. So Mahatattva comes, become back again into Pradhan actually. And manifest into the unmanifest by the force of time. That, so then you who are known as Shesha, Sheshnagi, no? Alone remain actually. O friend of manifest Prakriti, second one, this phenomenon of time by which the cosmos becomes active is your own action. So that is, remember I told you the two chesta. One chesta is on the part of the material world, they must come to end, but that itself, the activation of the three modes of material nature, my Lord, it's your action, your chesta is your action, and that is divided into units, times, you know, nimish, just the nanoseconds, to all the way going to the yugas, you know, thousands of yugas. From nanosecond, nimesha, twinkling of the eyes, you know, to years and so on like that, as long as in the lifetime of Brahma. But you are its master and the abode of all auspiciousness. Your lotus feet is the abode, Kshema Dhamma, so that, and I take shelter of you. And the third one, all human beings are mortal and thus constantly afraid of beings. Again, a sharp contrast is drawn. What is of the material world and my the body of the living entities and the body of you, my Lord? There's vast difference. Now, so your body is transcendental, free from all the three modes of, and free from the influence of time. The serpent of death, you know. So that is not there when we take shelter by your own mercy of your lotus feet. So people flee because of this fear, and they try with the hope that the higher planetary system, this fear of death won't be there. Actually, it is there also, only thing it's a much longer lifespan, you know. But nonetheless, at the end, even Brahma must die. But one who has taken your shelter, my Lord, they don't die, you know. So what is the definition of death actually? Death means that you don't have to come back. Yeah? So when you die, you have to come back into another material body. But when you take shelter of the lotus feet, that means you don't come back again in this material world, you go back to spiritual world. So that is what the definition of death actually. So that kind of death is not there. So your body itself, you yourself, my God, is no infant. Even those who surrender unto you, your lotus feet, they also become free, and they soon struggle. They become very peaceful actually. No? Okay, so the next one. So Krishna here first appeared to Devaki in his four-armed form in Kamsa's prison and the transcendental form beyond the influence of time, which function only after only over matter. So all matter, material world is subjected to influence of time. But Lord's body is free because it's not material, it's all spiritual. In fact, you cannot say Lord's body because there's no difference between Lord himself and his body. You know, to even say Lord's body, that is also not exactly correct, you know. He's not different from his body, unlike the jivas. So after the dissolution of the cosmos, then everything becomes unmanifest, avyakta. The supreme Lord remains, he alone remains, you know. And that is Sesha, the remainder. So the time which causes agitation of material nature, agitation of the modes of material nature, is not independent. Rather, it is under the Lord's control. Like moving his limbs. So the moving of the Lord's limbs means opening and closing of his eyes, actually, no? When he opens the eyes through the glands, the creation takes place. When he closes the eyes, everything must die, actually. Everything must annihilate, no? And then also lotus feet, that is also mentioned, that is free of the influence of time. So in the period of annihilation and before the next cycle of creation, time becomes inactive, you know. Time influences only during that period, you know, during the creation maintenance period. When everything is dissolved, because Lord closes eye, so time is the Lord's, you know, Lord, and then there is no influence of time in there. Kshema Dharma, as I just told you, is the means, the abode of auspiciousness. One becomes free from the influence of time. Okay, so now you understood the difference, actually. So once you understand this technique, you see what he's trying to establish first, and the key verse, how he's establishing, how he's making that point. You know? So that you must understand. So you connect the dots, you identify the dots, and you connect, then it's really not that difficult to comprehend, to understand that. Because very clear. So basically, that's how I'm applying this technique, and how I try to understand what Jiva Goswami is saying. Then it's really not that big of a problem to understand the Jiva Goswami's sandarbhas. You know? So that is what I'm telling you. Okay. So now we move on to text 30. Now again here also. Remember, I told you first thing you must focus what Jiva Goswami is trying to establish. So he's going to establish the Lord's body is transcendental. In fact, he already established that, but now specifically he's going to establish Lord's body is free from the influence of the three modes of material nature. So now he quotes these two verses here. I've just kept part of the two verses, actually, one half. The first one is 5:17-19, and actually this is from the 5th canto, 17th chapter, text 19. Na yasya maya ghona chitta vritti bhir nirikshito hi anva api drashtir ajyate. So here what he is talking about, and the next one is Narad Muni Stavon. So here what he is talking about, when we talk about the dissolution of the universe, actually that takes place by Lord's Krishna's expansion Balarama, and then expansion of Balarama is the Lord Sankarsana, you know. Now Sankarsana is actually, literally it is says that Sankarsana is the murti, is the form, you know, of Tamasa murti. That means he is the predominating deity of the mode of ignorance, and his embodiment is Lord Shiva, you know. So here this verse, this 5:17-19 is spoken by Lord Shiva. Actually Lord Shiva is a predominant deity in one of the varshas of the Bhumandala, actually, Ilavritta Varsha, actually. And their predominant deity is Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva is speaking this verse, actually. So Lord Shiva is the embodiment of the mode of ignorance. So here the doubt may, one might, and it is all Lord Sankarsana who further expansion the Lord Vishnu, his three Lord Narayan and three Purusha expansion, the Karnadakshaya Vishnu, Mahavishnu, who throws the glands, and then each and every universe Lord enters as a Garbhadakshaya Vishnu expansion, then each and every atom and each and every living in this heart enters as the third expansion, third Purusha, Kshiradakshaya Vishnu. So it's all done by Lord Sankarsana, you know. And Lord Sankarsana is this serpent form. Here in this picture is shown that he's right at the bottom of the ocean, actually. So all the 14 lokas are there. As you can see, it's in the Lord's the lotus feet. I'm sorry, from the Lord's navel, the stem, lotus stem erupts. And the top of its lotus flower, where Lord Brahma is there, Satyaloka. And all the way down, Satyaloka, the middle planetary system, and the seven lower planetary system, Patal Loka, and then there's the universe is below, less than half. There is Garbhodaka Ocean, an entire universe, and there are multiple universes. They all rest on the dozens of foods of this Sheshnaga, you know, and there is Lord Sankarsana's, Lord Anantadeva actually, you know. So that is what it is there actually, you know. So it is Lord Sankarsana, he is the Tamasamurti, he is the predominant deity of the mode of ignorance. So now the question, my doubt might arise, how is it possible one who is in himself is the personif- is the predominant deity of the mode of ignorance, how he could be transcendental, you know? So to remove the doubt, Jiva Goswami quotes this verse spoken by Narad Muni actually. Murtna purusha puru krupaya vapara sattvam sat shuddham sat asat idam vibhati etra. So he is very clearly saying that this murti, next day's prophet, okay? So this particular murti, which is tamas murti, in fact that is not, that is in fact some shuddham, you know, sattvam sam shuddham, that is the mode of pure goodness actually. Sattva Suddham, Shuddham, pure mode of goodness. Here Lord Sankarsana is showing here right here, no? This great serpent, you know, all this thousand footed snake. And he is resting on this Garbhodaka ocean. He is there on the Garbhodaka ocean, and on this bed of serpent, Lord Narayana is resting right there, you can see that. So although he glances over the material world for the purpose of creating, maintaining, and destroying it, his glancing is not subject to the fluctuation of mind that operate under the control of the gunas. So it is the mode of these three modes of material nature, that his whole material world works according to that, but Lord is free from that, you know. So Lord is transcendental, that's what the first part of the verse is saying, 5:17-19, right? But it is Tamasamurti, and so that doubt Jiva Goswami is removing by quoting this verse spoken by Narad Muni, where it clearly says, Lord being greatly merciful, is 5:25-19. Lord being greatly merciful, he manifests his form, which is of the nature of unalloyed being, the sattva. See that? So Lord and all expansions are also transcendental. So Sukadeva Goswami actually refers to Lord Sankarsana. This is the Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comments actually, and he mentions that actually Lord is the fourth state, Turiya state. Turiya means is the one which is Shuddham, Param Shuddham, Priya, pure Shuddham, Sattvam Shuddham. So Lord's deity, which is Tamasamurti, is actually it's in the beyond the modes of material nature. So he's really pure transcendental, purely transcendental. Okay, let's move on. So now he is established that Lord's body is transcendental, you know. Even after dissolution, that Lord Sankarsana, you know. So the PowerPoint for you. PowerPoint number 8, please, for you. Oh, so he's going to reconnect. Sorry. So let me read that. So PowerPoint 8 here. Lord Shiva's prayers. So I just told you that the first verse is spoken by Lord Shiva in the upper planetary system, that Bhumandala. Where he is dominating Ilavarsha Varta, you know. Ours is a Bharat Varshi actually. So there are 9 divisions actually. So Lord Sankarsana's form is Tamoguna, Tamasamurti, and so is that of Lord Shiva, who is the embodiment. So Narada Muni is speaking, the nature of unalloyed being Shuddha Sattva. So that verse very clearly says that Lord is Shuddha Sattva, and in this material world with its cause and effect abides in him. He makes pastimes just to attract the hearts of his devotees. While his form may be in tamasic form, his body is Turiya. See that? Turiya means the fourth state, which is beyond the three modes of material nature. This is the commentary of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So then question is, how do we understand because in Mahabharata and elsewhere, even Bhagavatam talks about that towards the end, Arjuna, when Krishna prepared to disappear, so he arranges the arrows thrown by this Jara, the Parvi, the hunter. He throws an arrow, and that pierces Lord's feet, and then Lord dies. Actually, it says that, and then actually Arjuna performs these final funeral ceremony and all these things. So how do we understand if Lord is all transcendental? It's beyond time and space. How do we understand that? So here, it's in fact that purport itself, Prabhupada actually talks about. It's like magician performing an act. On a stage, he performs the act and he disappears. That doesn't mean that he disappears, means he died. That's just that's an illusion, you know. So here, the same thing is also there. So this Mahabharata and all this thing is given for the people of the lowest to understand that, actually. But in reality, we have to go by the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is in the pure mode of goodness. So Lord is never, he appears, he manifests and unmanifests. That's what we have to understand that, actually. No? So how do we understand that Arjuna performed the funeral rites for Krishna's dead body? Krishna never dies, actually. See, appears and disappears. So Srila Jiva Goswami actually explains that these lower modes of the Puranas, the Skanda Purana and all these other things mentioned, are meant to conceal the reality and not to reveal the absolute truth. No. So we should only accept Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, move on to the next one, please. So he clearly established that as the Lord's body is transcendental, and it is his Swarupa, that's his form, original form, actually. No? So now he's going to establish the body's all pervading. So remember how to understand. In order to understand, you have to know what Jiva Goswami is trying to establish. So now this section, in this Anucheda, in this text, Jiva Goswami is going to establish the Lord's body is all pervading everywhere, simultaneously, you know. So what is he? So the key verse that he's going to describe that. So here the key verse is this. So thus far Jiva Goswami had already established that the Lord's body is part of his essential nature, eternal and non-different from him, it's beyond the time and space. Laws of material modes of nature, laws of material nature does not apply to the Lord's body. So now he would show that the Lord's form is beyond time and space. So the key verse he's talking about is this 10th canto, 9th chapter, text 13 and 14. And that is actually spoken, here it is, first verse itself. So you see this building contradictions are there. He is not inside, he is not outside. He is not previously, na purvam, na api cha param. Purva param bahirscha jagato yo chayaha. Tam matva atmajam avyaktam natti lingam adhokshayam. Gopika akhukhale damana babandh prakrutim yata. So what this Jiva Goswami is quoting this verse, and this is the verse this quoting is actually explained in the Lord's Damodar Leela, actually, no? So here what happens, I'll give you just a little background of Damodar Leela, just very briefly, that when once what happens is baby Krishna was at one time Mother Yashoda was churning the yogurt to make butter, actually. So here Krishna wakes up and he wants to have this Mother Yashoda's breast milk, actually, to be fed, you know. So Mother Yashoda took him in her lap and breastfeeding him. Now at that time what happened, Mother Yashoda had already had a pot of milk on the fire, on the stove, and the milk began to boil over, actually, you know. So it was overflowing.
So she had to immediately rush to take care of the boiling milk, actually, you know, the overflowing milk. So she places the Krishna on the floor, and she went. So here, baby Krishna becomes very angry. So he was wondering that this milk is much more important than I, you know. So he becomes so angry. So he breaks this yogurt pot, and then goes to the next room and climbs to get the butter which was made previous day, which was hanging from the on the ceiling. So he takes the ukala. Ukala means this is a kind of a table like thing, and he climbs on that and does that. So by the time Mother Yashoda comes back, and she sees that this baby Krishna had broken all the yogurt parts and everything, so she becomes very angry, of course, you know. So she wants discipline, so she takes a stick in her hand and goes after. So and Krishna could become very, very fearful. He is crying out of fear and running around, actually, you know. So in fact, that is very beautifully explained, you know, that here is the Supreme Lord playing the role of a baby Krishna and is afraid of Yashoda. The fear personified is afraid of him, the Lord. He's now afraid of Mother Yashoda's stick, actually, that she is going to beat him, you know. But then Mother Yashoda, realizing that, so what she does, actually, instead of beating him, so gets hold of him, and she wants to tie him, actually. So she takes a rope and tries to tie him, and now she has a tremendous difficulty to tie him. Every time she takes a rope, the rope is always two fingers short of it. So she takes new rope again, but there again that also falls short. Longer and longer rope strings, she is unsuccessful. Yeah? So she has become very, very frustrated about that. And when she becomes frustrated, at that time, Lord agrees, then she is able to do that. So here, at that time, this verse is spoken, actually. Huh? So the Supreme Person of Godhead has no beginning and no end, no exterior, no interior. He's not inside, not outside. Nacha antar antar nacha bahir, you know. Na purvam na chaparam, you know. He has no beginning nor end. In other words, he is all pervading simultaneously, you know. Because he is not under, influence of the element of time that we already saw previously. For him, there is no difference between past, present, and future. So he exists in his own transcendental form at all times, being absolute, being relatively beyond relativity. He's free from the distinctions between cause and effect. Although he is the cause and effect of everything, sarva karana karanam, you know, that unmanifested person who is beyond the perception of senses, so he's adhokshaja, and now appears a human child. And Mother Yashoda, considering him his own only child, bound him to the wooden mortar with a rope. So now, several important elements are there in this verse, actually. And that is shown in the next PowerPoint. Next PowerPoint. For a conditioned soul, here, it's very difficult to comprehend one who is beyond time and space. So for us, which we are not used to it, it's very difficult to understand, comprehend, you know. So that's why it's inconceivable. One who could be beyond time and space. Because everything that exists in the material world, it's in a three-dimensional space, right? And the time, particular time. So at the same time, simultaneously, a person cannot be at two different places at the same time, you know. That's beyond comprehension, actually. But this does not apply to the Lord here. That's what the point here, actually. So Lord exists everywhere in his personal form. So here, again, the distinctive point is mentioned here that, because generally we think, it's explained that when Lord is all-pervading, that means his energy is all-pervading. He himself is a person, no? But that's not it. In fact, he himself simultaneously can exist multiple different forms at the same time, like in Dwarka, you know, when he married 100,000 queens, he expanded himself 100 times, 100,000 times in different places, different palaces, and he was doing different things at different times. The Lord Narada Muni himself actually saw that, you know. So this is what the Lord's potency is, inconceivable. So so he is all pervading, even his personal form is all pervading, not necessarily in impersonal form is all pervading, you know. So here there are several elements we have to understand, you know. First, Mother Yashoda was unable to bind Krishna, you know. How could she bind when he is all pervading everywhere, you know. You can bind somebody or something that is existing in particular place, a particular space, right, and a particular time element at a particular time, but you cannot bind something everywhere, you know. So how did she succeed? So she could not bind that ring, but eventually it is shown that she did succeed at the end. Actually Krishna let her bind him, you know, himself, you know. So that did happen. So how did that happen? Actually, if something that is all pervading, and that was the reason, if that is the explanation, that she could not bind, but then at some point Krishna did allow her, you know, to bind him. So that, how did that all pervading suddenly become, Mother Yashoda was able to perform, accomplish that objective, you know. So here the third point, that tying an object requires encircling it completely with a rope, you know. You need to encircle something that you want to tie all around, you know. But something that is all pervading, how can you encircle? The fourth element, the rope must be outside that object, you know. How? Because Lord is within and without. That element is also there. So Krishna has neither inside nor outside. Na cha antar, na cha bahir yasya. His body is purely spiritual, you know. Although it appears to be localized, it is simultaneously all pervading. So it's simultaneously inside, simultaneously outside, simultaneously one place, simultaneously everywhere else also is there, and his personal form also like that. So as such, she could not bind because of that element. Okay, but then later on, so here it says it has no divisions, no beginning, no ending. So na purvam na chapi cha param. It existed before the creation and will exist after annihilation. Purva param. So Krishna is the universe, jagat chayaha. He is jagat, and thus not limited by any object. So therefore, how could he be bound with a rope? Then eventually she did, bind him. Krishna allowed that. How did that take place? So because when Krishna realized that his mother is so frustrated, and because of her tremendous love for him, so he actually, and that is the element difficult to understand unless you accept Krishna as a person actually, you know. So he actually, his Aishwarya, Yogam Aishwaryam, so he hid his Aishwarya, his great opulence, and he allowed Mother Yashoda to bind him actually, you know. So that is the point that's explained in the next PowerPoint. Next PowerPoint, please. So you see this technique I just shared with you. This is the how very complex, difficult to understand things becomes relatively easier to comprehend actually, if you understand what Jiva Goswami is trying to establish and what keywords using and how that keywords is establishing that fact. You know, that's what I'm trying to tell you that. You know? So how then was he bound, allowed to be bound, despite all this constraint? He is called Damodara, you know, for one who is bound around the waist. So Krishna, however, is appeared as a human child. That's where the word says, Matyalinga. So now he appeared as before he was his Aishwarya, all pervading. But now, seeing his mother's love for him, Kimil's Vatsila Rasa, so then he become an ordinary human child. So then she was able to bind him actually with the rope. So Mati Linga means he is the form of a mortal being, apparently mortal being actually. He is not mortal actually, obviously. So she didn't realize that her son is all pervading, you know, before. And this is because he is beyond sense perception, Adokshaja. So Lord accepted her as his mother due to her love for him. So this is exactly one of the unique thing about the original Krishna, the original personality Godhead, Bhakta Vatsala, you know. that's not there even in Narayana expansions. So Lord accepted her as his mother due to her love for him. So why then was she unable to recognize the Lord Krishna's Kundi down? So why she was unable to recognize that actually? Because out of love, because remember, Mother Yashoda never accepted when people were telling that your son is Lord Narayana himself. She never accepted it. How could my Lord, my boy, an ordinary boy actually, ordinary child actually, my baby, you know, how could he's not ordinary baby actually. You know? So she would not accept that actually. And that is the pure devotees, that's how these rasas are there. So out of love, she thought of him as her own son. Tam matva atmajam. Atmajam means her own son. So that is what Krishna reciprocated. So Krishna acted as if her son, or not his son actually. No? So she reciprocated that. So he conceived his divine opulence, his Yoga Maishwaram. The Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna talks about that in the 9th chapter, you know. Yoga Maishwaram. So the devotee does not recognize him as God. Rather, he doesn't even care to know Krishna as such. Neither Brahma, Shiva, nor Lakshmi Devi had that kind of Mother Yashoda's exalted position received from the Lord. Even Lord Brahma, they didn't have that kind of fortune. Nor Lord Shiva. Even Lakshmi Devi, who constantly resides in the chest, she didn't have that kind of fortune. That the exalted position Mother Yashoda enjoyed, you know. Next PowerPoint. So here, Jiva Goswami very clearly established that he is all pervading, you know. Next PowerPoint, please. 13. So how was the need down? Despite all above consciousness, we just read about that, right? So he's a Martilinga, he became ordinary human child. The next one, so the conclusion is that all pervading absolute truth must be the very child who was bound by Mother Yashoda. The intention of Sunil Goswami. So Jiva Goswami further warns that one should not think that Krishna's being tied up was any kind of illusion or magic trick, nothing like that. If it were so, Sukadeva Goswami would have no reason to glorify Mother Yashoda and establish her superiority over Brahma, Shiva, Lakshmi Devi and so on. So Jiva Goswami defines illusion as something impossible that is still within the range of reason. So he gives an analogy of the undersea volcanic fire. So you see, it's a real life also, you can see that sometimes. So usually when there's a fire, you throw water, you can extinguish fire, right? But here, underneath the great ocean, the great tremendous water, body of water, and yet there's a volcanic fire at the bottom of the ocean, you know. So that looks inconceivable, but that's we can see already. So this is how we can relate even the material world, not to speak of the spiritual world, you know, not to speak of the Supreme Lord. So that's what Jiva Goswami makes a point here, you know. So Srila Jiva Goswami and then concludes, therefore that very same body that was bound with ropes is all pervading. You know, it's by own Krishna's own willingness to be bound that then only things happen actually. You know? So inconceivably and yet simultaneously limited, so it apparently it looks like limited. So as a normal human child, it seems like he's limited, right? In the next PowerPoint also we are going to see that actually, when the next example, when Lord Brahma becomes bewildered, so we'll see that there also actually the same point here. So understanding this concept is required to realize the personal feature of the Lord. Unless you understand that, and that's why this impersonalist people have no, they have very great difficulty to understand that aspect of it, you know. But they don't accept Krishna as a person. They said that the Supreme Brahma, there is Nirakara Nirguna. Alright? So now the text 32-33. So we already established, Jiva Goswami established that Lord's body is transcendental, beyond time and space, all pervading and so on like that. And that is itself, that's his swarupa, you know. So now he's going to talk about his form is unlimited. Bhagavan's form is unlimited, 32. So Jiva Goswami quotes series of verses, 12 verses actually, that is spoken in the prayers of Lord Brahma. Now we are not going to mention all the verses actually. So I'm not going to show the sanskrit verse, just the translation of that. And that was the main point because of the time. You know. So Brahma's, so this is what happened. Let me give you a little background here. This is what happened in Vrindavan when Krishna with his friends, coward friends, they gather, you know, when they were taking care of the cows. Actually, Krishna was at that time a little boy, actually. So he was given to take care of the baby cows, calves, you know. And he had this, you know, coward friends. So during lunchtime, they gather and enjoying this pastimes, you know. So here, Krishna taking the food from his coward boy, boys from their mouth. So here, Lord Brahma was seeing that thing. He just couldn't understand how that Supreme Lord could be taking the food from an ordinary person's mouth, actually. That's could not understand. Second thing, you also notice that the Aghasura, when Lord killed Aghasura, when he entered in the belly of Lord Aghasura, so Lord Aghasura of course died, and then he was the flash of light happened, actually. And he was a demon, of course, you know. And then he was given liberation. So that's another thing that Brahma could not understand that, you know. So this is the this is where he's talking about this. So he decided to test this little boy whether he is really the Supreme Lord or not. So he, what he did, he hit this Krishna's coward boyfriends, these friends, and the cows, the baby cows, in a little cave actually, and then he went away. So for him, it's just a moment actually. He came back to see what happened. What does this little boy does that? If he is the Supreme Lord, he will find a solution. But what he finds when he comes, return in a moment, but that moment for him, actually, the whole year passed on this earth, actually. It's a whole, many, many chapters are there in the 10th canto, actually. So when he found, returned back, what he found, that he originally found the same boys there, actually, same these cows were there that he had stolen, they were all from there, and they were all, actually, what he could see, the four on Vishnu forms, every one of them, you know. So that means Krishna expanded himself into all these forms, exact duplicates, you know. But they were all Krishna's form, Narayana forms were there, that he could see that. And that's where he realized that he made a big mistake in understanding the Lord, and Supreme Lord, this little boy, actually. So here is apparently just a young little boy, a small boy, but he was actually the Supreme Lord, you know. That's what so Brahma realized. So in these prayers, he is begging pardon in the Lord, actually, and he's saying that Lord must pardon him. And how, what is the reasoning behind that? That's what is given here. So here, Jiva quotes the series of 12 verses from Brahma's prayers to Krishna after trying to test Krishna. He was totally bewildered. His ego completely smashed. Thus he offered to the Lord that he is having disturbed the Lord's pastimes with his coward friends and cows. So what is the significance? That Brahma testifies from his own experience that the apparently limited form of Bhagavan, that what he saw this little boy, is actually unlimited, because he could expand simultaneously in so many different forms. You know, not only human forms, but even animals, also cows. You know, so he begins his prayers by acknowledging how insignificant he is relative to the Lord. Actually, so basically, that's what he said. So first verse, that is 10th canto, 14th chapter, this verse 11. That's where he begins. You know, so there are 12 verses that Jiva Goswami quotes. So here, first one, what he says: I, an ignorant being. So here in this verse, what basically is showing how insignificant he is, actually. So he's saying that my body just 7 spans tall. So 7 spans, actually, this you know, you measure with the 4 fingers, actually. Yeah. So and we are not going to go in details about it. So these 4 fingers. So you see, when you expand like this, let me show you that. So that this is, so from distance from here to here is 3 times 4 fingers actually, no? 12 fingers. So there are 7 times. So one's own size of the fingers, that's how one can measure. So that's what he says that. So basically what he's saying that he is a fellow with a limit, a particular height of his, he has that. And then in the comparing with the universe now, consisting of this part-like universe, surrounded by the 7 coverings of the cosmic intellect. So first of all, the entire universe, the diameter of the universe, 10 times of that, the innermost layer. There are 7 layers, and each layer is 10 times bigger than the previous layer. So the innermost layer itself is 10 times the diameter of the universe. The diameter of the universe is, I believe it is around 4 billion miles or something like that. So 10 times of that is innermost layer, and 10 times of previous second, like the 7 layers goes there actually. And each of the layers is what? Is Mahatattva, ego, ether, air, fire, water, and ether, and earth. So, and you, my Lord, are so great that countless such universes pass through the pores of your body. So he said, not this one universe, but countless multiple billions and billions of universes that produce from the same little pores of your body. As you can see, that how many pores in Mahavishnu's body must be there. No? So how great, how huge pore Mahavishnu must be there. And Mahavishnu is just an expansion of the Lord Krishna. So just imagine. And in this entire one universe alone, Brahma is just a tiny, tiny dot like figure. So he's basically saying that how insignificant he is. And there's no way he could realize the greatness of Krishna. That's what the point he's making here, you know. Next PowerPoint. So he is unlimited basically. He seems like, apparently seems like limited, this little boy, okay? But in a reality, he is unlimited. And that's the point that Jivakrishna is pointing out through this verse actually, through this series of verses. Next PowerPoint, 15th. Okay, so next one, since everything is within your body, belly, because in Mahavishnu's belly, everything goes back and comes out, you know, during creation, it puts back into the material nature, and during annihilation, everything goes back, submerged in Lord's belly, Mahavishnu's belly. So he is within the universe, as Krishna, within that Vrindavan little place, and the entire universe, multiple universes are there in his belly. Simultaneously, so that is inconceivable. Therefore, he should forgive my offenses, because just as a mother does the child in her womb. So basically, he's saying that the entire universe is within your belly, and I'm a tiny fellow in that universe. So I'm also in your belly. So just like a pregnant woman's a baby in her in womb sometimes kicks, and the mother doesn't mind at all. She becomes very happy that my baby is alive and happy actually. So she feels very joyous. That's why she's praying that, my Lord, please don't get angry with me. Don't be offended, because I am just like a little boy in your belly, you know. So that's what he's saying there, you know. So the baby in the womb sometimes kicks, but this does not offend the mother. Rather, she feels delighted that her baby is alive and kicking. And all of us do his act of stealing the cows and cowards. So he said that my act of stealing your coward friends and your cows is like that, my little by kicking actually, you know? So please don't feel offended actually, you know? So Brahma addressed the Lord as Adokshya. She said that you are beyond sense perception, so my senses, which are so imperfect, how am I expected to understand, know you as you are actually, you know? So that's why I made a mistake, you know? So please forgive me. The next verse, 13. So the revealed scriptures say that unborn Brahma comes out of the lotus flower coming from the level of Narayana, who lives. So actually this is a question, it's a series of, Jiva Goswami puts that actually in his explanation of the verses, that, you know, when he says that I am born from you and you are my mother and father. So Krishna said, how is it possible? I am just 7 years boy, and I'm son of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Baba. How can I be father, you know? And you are also known as unborn, This Brahmaji doesn't take a birth like ordinary living beings, actually, you know. He has no mother, actually. So that's why Brahmaji explained in that, you know, this scripture says that that I was born from the navel of Mahavishnu, you know, that Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. And so I am born from that. And Narayana form is actually a particular part, your limb, an anga of yourself. So that way that you are my father and mother, actually. And Krishna himself is a Bija Prada Pita, you know, seed giving father, you know. So that's why he makes it point that I am your son, and please forgive me on that, you know. So Krishna tests him that he might ask this question to Pus. Then he says, okay, how am I Narayana, you know. So that's why he's making different definitions of Narayana, you know. And so ultimately he's making a point that Narayana who resides on the water, you know, and then he recalls how at the time, at the dawn of creation, when he was produced, you know, he didn't know what is where about. So, and when he finds himself in the lotus flower, so he actually enters back, goes to the lotus stem, going all the way to find that who is behind that, and he couldn't find anybody else at all. And then he walks back, and that time he heard the voice, tapa, tapa, tapa. So he performs austerities and then offers prayers. So Lord is very pleased, then he actually shows himself as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. So that same form which was lying on the Garbhodak ocean as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, so previously he was there, but when he went there, he couldn't find him, you know. So he was beyond that, even water could not hide him. So he was wondering why he saw. So that is what he explained in this verse, actually. Yeah? So 10.14.13, the revealed scriptures say that the unborn Brahma comes out of the lotus flower, flowing from the navel of Narayana, who lies in the water of dissolution into which the three worlds have merged. So these worlds are surely not false. So basically saying the scriptures say, so scriptural words cannot be wrong, actually. And scriptures does say that I was born from you. Next problem. Hi, Bob. Let's move on, because time is short now. So the next text now. So he is not limited by material elements. So Brahma relates his own experience to prove the Lord's body. So here in this PowerPoint, see that? So Lord might object, but you are called unborn. So how can you? So in Brahma is called Swayambhu, because he did not get born from an ordinary mother, you know. He came from the navel of Lord Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. So Krishna might ask him that. So besides, I am just a child, and he said that, Krishna, I am just a child, how can I be father, your father, you know? So that's in that Brahma actually replies to that possible question by Krishna. You are superior even to Narayana, because Krishna said, how I cannot be Narayana? So no, you are Narayana. So you are even superior to Narayana, the controller of everyone. So I am born from Narayana, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, who is but your limb, who is just actually part of your anga, actually. No? Because I am indeed born from you. Krishna is certainly Narayana, but not that Narayana is Krishna. You cannot get both ways, you know. Krishna's expansions are there in him, but expansions cannot be Krishna. So he is the original personality Godhead. So Krishna himself is not the direct witness of the jiva's actions. He is the supreme enjoyer and thus aloof from material things. So that's what in Bhagavad Gita also Krishna says, that, you know, that this material world is under my direction, in my direction. I am not responsible for day-to-day running of the material affairs, actually, he says that. It's given to my expansions, you know. That is Purusha expansion and its universe. The Lord is busy, spending time with his personal associates in Goloka Vrindavan Dham. So Lord's body is all-pervading, though it appears limited. Without his mercy, one cannot see his form. The form of the Lord that Brahma saw was both contained universes and yet was within us. So the entire universe was there in the Lord's body, and yet the Lord was there in that universe, in that Vrindavan, that little Vrindavan part of that universe, that Brahma saw that. So he is inside and is outside, that picture that Lord actually demonstrated to him. No. Next PowerPoint. So you see very clearly what's emerging, that I'm trying to point out to you by example, that what Jiva Goswami is establishing, what he's trying to establish, and what particular key verses chooses from Srimad Bhagavatam to make that point, and how that verse actually fits what he's trying to establish. That's the point I'm trying to make. So if you understand that, and so if you recognize the dots and then make connection, proper connection, then it's not really that difficult to understand, difficult to comprehend. Yeah, it apparently looks like it's very difficult, but this all the entire this opening, I'm sorry, this sandarbhas, but it's not that difficult once you know the technique, the sarivi technique, and that's what I'm sharing with you, and that's what seems to work. That's how I'm able to understand because of that. I think I'm able to understand. Okay. Okay, then the last two verses now, 34 and 35. So now here, Jiva Goswami is establishing, right? He's establishing that Bhagavan is both within the universe and without the universe. If that point is already made in previous verses also. Now, each of these points that we discussed today, they are going to be expanded in much more greater depth as we go along, separately, one by one. So text 30, so this is the 16th verse, that is in 14th chapter, 10th canto. So as Krishna, you showed your mother. So now he's giving Jiva Goswami's point, giving the another example, key verse. Here, once what happens, Mother Yashoda, you know, when the coward boys led by Balaram, they complained to Mother Yashoda that this baby Krishna had eaten this earth, you know, this mitti, this dirt. So and Krishna said, no, I didn't eat at all anything like that, you know. If these coward boys and Balarama, Dauji, they are just, who do you believe? You believe me or them, actually. So if you don't believe them, you don't do it, just why don't you see in my mouth? So then Krishna opens his mouth. So that's where Mother Yashoda saw his mouth, the entire universe. Even she saw herself seeing the mouth, checking the mouth of Krishna, that she saw in his mouth, actually. So all this entire universe is right there within the body of Krishna. That's what is going here. So that is the point that Brahmaji is mentioning, that as Krishna, you subdued Maya, you showed your mother that the material cosmos is within your belly, and and you are still external to it. It's outside, that he is there as a mere boy to Mother Yashoda. So that's what in a dichotomy, he's inside and outside. And does any limitation it might impose on you, you are illusory, you know. So Maya generates the illusion that you are within the universe and that universe is outside you. But actually, by inconceivable internal potency, you have a medium-sized body and yet you pervade everything. The entire, all these universes are right there within you, and you are outside that universe also at the same time. So Lord's form is not limited either by time or space, and that is the very difficult thing for us to understand, comprehend. But here, these different verses and different actual examples, Krishna's baby pastimes and Vrindavan pastimes, that we are seeing this thing, this point actually. No? So that is the point that Jiva Goswami is pointing out. The last PowerPoint now. Text 35. This is the last one. So Shuka in 2.123 clearly describes Bhagavan's Virat Rupa, and Mother Yashoda saw Krishna's mouth, and one seen outside are both manifestation of Maya, actually. So a doubt may be raised, either the universe seen outside is a product of Maya and thus one's inside is reflection, or both the universe are transcendental, you know. So despite this doubt, Brahma continues, and this is verse 16. Just as this entire universe along with you yourself appear within your belly, so to all that appears as here is in you. How is this possible except through your Maya? So Krishna's illusory power actually, no? What you see, that's a fact, that all these different universes are there within Krishna's body, but he gives illusory, his illusion that, you know, that he is an outside, he is inside, like that, you know. So Srila Jiva Goswami himself comments that the display was Lord's inconceivable potency. That's the reality, right? So in this way, Brahma proved that Krishna's body is all-pervading and that he is within Krishna's belly like a child within the womb of his mother, in this praise for the Lord's pardon, you know. So that's how Brahmaji realized Krishna's original form. Krishna taught him that lesson actually. So you see that, and these other examples, very clearly see that Krishna is indeed in his belly, everything resides, all these different universes, and yet he can be seen outside also. So this is his Yoga Maishwaryam basically, you know. So it's not like that's not true when you say it's from Maya, but that's not like that. It's the reality is there, but that's his Yoga Maishwaryam, Achintya, inconceivable. You know, that's what Brahmaji is showing to us. So see that you know, several facts that Jiva Goswami established here. Now each of these points he is going to expand in the series of verses now onwards. We'll see in the next several weeks actually, you know. So see how deeply it goes. There's a beauty part of it actually, you know, Jiva Goswami, and that's what really attracts me so much. There's so much insight, so much great depth that we understand Srimad Bhagavatam, that we all study, of course, you know, we heard about all things, but the depth of that we are realizing in this Sandarbhas, you know, deep analysis, and that's how we understand more and more in depth who Krishna really is. You know, this great, and that's what makes the point actually, no? Okay, I'll stop here and see the questions, comments. Hare Krishna. I wish we had more time, but you see, unfortunately, time is we are as we see in these verses, you know. We are all under the influence of time, but by Krishna's mercy we are able to understand this thing. Okay, let me read this point. So because it cut fast time first. Ravindra Prabhu, soundtrack of lectures are equally flavored.
Yes, yes, yes.
The link is better. I'm so sorry that you couldn't hear this lecture. Sharad Prabhu, slide 3, Lord Sesha is an expansion of Lord. Then how verse 10.3.25 says that you remain as Ananta says Naga, Shesh Naga? To give you one correction, Prasad 6 refers to 5.20.19, but it is 5.25.10. Is that so? Okay, I'll check that, okay, Sarat Prabhu. Thank you, Sharad Prabhu. Unless this author of this book made a mistake, you know. But I did check the original verses also in 10th canto, Guruji. The Lord is present everywhere in his personal form. Does it mean that he will be able to see his covered from within his flute, with his flute, had we have such ritual eyes? How to similar statements describing the eternal space beyond manifest and unmanifest, beyond inconceivable, inconceivable? Is it that because we are products of material nature, we cannot really understand this? On our own efforts, we cannot understand. Only by Krishna's mercy, we can understand this thing. Or else, does it mean that the absolute truth is beyond the pair of opposite ends? So, what we are seeing, Prabhuji, absolute truth is something impersonal entity. It is personal aspect of it. That if you understand then, if you accept that, then all this thing will make sense actually. And it's by definition, Krishna is a series of opposite, built-in contradictions are there, you know. But he is is inside, is outside, is near, is far, and everything like that, you know. So what you are saying, absolute truth is beyond the pair of opposite, hence it is. So absolute truth itself is not beyond the opposite, but the absolute truth. So there is no difference between absolute truth and Krishna. Krishna is indeed the absolute truth. Satyam Param Dhimai, you know. So you don't see something different, they are one and the same. But here the personal aspect that we are talking about, as we already saw, the absolute truth is Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. So when you see Bhagavan form, then you are going to be able to see the real nature of the absolute truth, the personal feature of the absolute truth. Then all these contradictions, then you will understand that it's no more contradiction, that's a reality actually. Right? So, for us it is going to be difficult to comprehend. Only by Krishna's mercy we can understand. Atul Prabhu, Brahmanda Ghata showed that whole universe in Mother Yashoda showed Brahma. Can you explain? Yeah, so to Mother Yashoda he showed the whole universe right within his mouth. So within his belly that was there, that's what he showed to Mother Yashoda actually, you know. I don't know what is to be explained. That's just a plain fact. All right. There are no more questions.